Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by Drupalize Me. Become a Drupal super genius from the convenience of your own living room. Lullabot's extensive Drupal training library contains almost 200 hours of streaming video, including in-depth classes on subjects such as CCK, Views, Drupal theming, jQuery and JavaScript, Drupal performance and scalability, and new Drupal 7 specific videos being released every month. Get immediate access to the entire library when you become a member. For more information, visit drupalize.me today. Go, Drupalize yourself.
I'm Thomas Turnbull. I work for Zagat.
Alan Palzolo. I work with Code for America. And my experience with mapping in Drupal is I'm one of the main developers on the Open Layers project. And I've done a number of sites with mapping related stuff. We're doing a session today on how to make your map look good.
Cool. So tell me about Open Layers. What do you sort of need to know in order to get this module up and running and have maps on your website?
Open Layers is using a JavaScript library that's open source and being developed by a bunch of people. And then there's a Drupal integration module called Open Layers. It has great Views integration, good CCK integration as well. You can use it to pull your maps from wherever works best for you. You can use Google Maps. You can use the OpenStreetMap, which is a big open source mapping project. Pull from Bing. So it's pretty easy. You can set it up through the user interface. It's got good feature support as well.
Cool. So what are some of the things that you're going to be telling people in your session, the takeaways that they're going to be learning?
So the initial assumption is that Google Maps is like stock photography. And of course, there's nothing wrong with Google Maps, but in a site that you're sort of concerned about design and branding and stuff like that, Google Maps doesn't often fit into that. And so we're going to be talking about what you can do out of the box with modules like Open Layers and ngmap, and what you can do by just clicking some things to get your maps looking better. And then what you can do on sort of a theming layer with a little bit of code, and then finally some of the more advanced procedures to kind of change drastically what you're going to do. And just as of yesterday, we're going to have a short little demo of DevSeed's new tile mill, which should, I think, significantly change how web developers create some good visuals on maps.
Yeah, and tile mill is a fantastic new tool that you can use to generate your own custom base map, so you can have it colored however you want. They've done some really cool night vision maps. There's some beautiful work being done to visualize the earthquake in Haiti and some other big disaster maps where they've gone in and just built some really beautiful base maps.
So yeah, maybe talk about that workflow. If you guys use tile mill, how would you sort of go through and create your MB tiles, and where would you put them, and how would that sort of integrate and work?
Well, that's definitely more of a better question for the DevSeed folks, but I can talk about it just for a moment. It's still pretty new. It's a fairly new technology, so there's some still rough edges, but the basic workflow is you use TileMill to take your data sets, like a shapefile or something similar, and use a CSS sort of styling mechanism to, say, outline a road with a certain color or outline land and have fills for the polygon, and so start to create that visual style for your data. And then you can export that into the MB tiles format. And from there, you can use TileStream, which is basically a service to read that MB tiles format and spit out those tiles so that a library like Open Layers can use it and start to display it on a website.
I see. So TileStream is a service that you would upload it to, and then that's what would be serving it to the map.
Right. So TileStream needs to run on your server. And so traditionally, you would have a set of tiles, which are images, like file images. And MB tiles takes that and puts it into an SQLite database, so it's a single file. And so you need TileStream to kind of create that extra step of serving those tiles out as you would a normal set of files.
And one of the exciting things about that is using this SQLite database is you can have it somewhere that's not connected to the internet, so you can very easily put it onto an iPad or onto a USB drive and have it on a laptop in the field when you're away from somewhere that has internet connection. And so again, that's something that's being used in disaster response.
I see. And you mentioned something about a theming layer or other code. Talk about the process of getting Open Layers and those different checks that you'd have to do some theming or coding for cleanup or sort of extra polish.
So at its base, by using the Open Layers module, It's a pretty basic map. We have the OpenLayers images and stuff like that. And we set it up with OpenStreetMap as the tile set. So then within the interface, within the Drupal site, you can click some buttons and change how things look and change, you know, some of the behaviors around it. You can start to use a different tile set if you want to use the Google tile set or the Yahoo tile set, stuff like that. If you're familiar with CloudMade, that's a pretty good service that's sort of similar to TileMill to create custom tile sets. And then you can use views to create layers of data. So if you have some geo-encoded nodes, you can create your view and then layer that on top of, say, your OpenStreetMap tile set. And then you can have some pop-ups on top of that. And then there's sort of some customizations you can do to that as well. So
maybe you guys could talk about some of the examples that you've used OpenLayers on your specific websites to kind of flesh out like the use cases that you have.
Yeah, so on zagat.com, for example, we just launched that on Drupal 2 weeks ago. We've got a little tool where you can open up for your city and it shows all the neighborhoods as little shapes. And you can click on your neighborhood that you're interested in just to toggle what you're going to be searching for to find restaurants. And so that's just a really nice little bit of user interface.
I see. So it's sort of breaking down into neighborhoods specifically, and then what happens once you click on the neighborhood then?
Yeah, so when you choose the three neighborhoods that you're interested in for finding a place to eat that night, click submit, and then it just pulls up a list of restaurants within that area that you've chosen. So just a really visual way of choosing what you're interested in.
And my most recent project is ShelterCenter.org, which is an online library for shelter-related humanitarian resources. And what we did was created sort of the main banner of the website is an OpenLayers map, an interactive map. And what it does is it geocodes all those resources by country and displays them and kind of, you know, weights those different points according to how many resources are in a country. We've also added the ability to kind of use the HTML5 geolocation stuff so that it'll automatically kind of zoom in to where you are. And so you can start to explore the resources that are specific to your area. And it just creates a much more geo-focused experience to the data outside of searching, you know, just like keyword searching. So it's been nice.
I see. And a lot of like cell phones, when they're asking for geolocation, you click a button saying, is it okay if you use my location? But you're saying on the web browsers now on HTML5, it'll just sort of automatically figure that out?
It does the same thing. It's going to ask you a native way of saying, do you want the site to take your location? And it's really nice for a cell phone. With the browser, with HTML5, it's a new experience, I think, for people to have that question asked to them. And so I think it throws some people off. But in a cell phone or an iPhone and a smartphone, that's a usual question that people are used to. And so it kind of allows our site to be almost a little more native, in quotes, into an iPhone application sort of thing. So.
So what's sort of next for the module? Is there Drupal 7 or new features that you're kind of working on?
Yeah, so the upgrade for OpenLayers to Drupal 7 is underway. There's an alpha release there. Yeah, I think the work the development seed is going to be really interesting there, focusing a lot on the mapping space.
Yeah. So we've just ported to Drupal 7. It's still pretty rough. It is alpha, maybe even pre-alpha. Most of the main parts are the same. As far as our code, it's based largely on C tools, and it allows everything to be pretty exportable. And our API on top of that is not really leveraging Drupal too much, so it wasn't too intense to port. But with development seed sort of pushed to more data and mapping stuff, Tom McWright is one of their developers, and he's helped out a lot on the OpenLayers module. So it's kind of up in the air as far as who, like, I'll still be on the project and stuff like that, but we need to find some more people to bring it forward and stuff like that. But the development seed work of TileMill and stuff like that really changes the game, I think, as far as people like us, like web developers that have some technical skills. But up until now, making your own custom tile sets was really, really difficult. Especially in an open source realm, like you had to know a lot of different things and put a lot of parts together. TileMill allows you to do that in basically a couple commands and start that process. So it'll be really interesting to see how it goes.
I was going to say, and the other interesting thing is the Google Maps API 3 is really opening up things as well for customizing how your maps look. So I think that's going to be another big thing over the next few months and year.
Cool. And you know, it seems like in talking to Development Seed that their interest in mapping is really driven by open data, open government, visualization. So maybe you could sort of talk about what your vision is for like what kind of maps can be created and how that could help affect social change in some way.
I mean, it's been really interesting just looking at the maps that were released by the crisis mapper folks 2 or 3 days ago for Libya. You know, just having this team of open source volunteer map makers around the world who came out of the Haiti response and everything, going in, making maps, and, you know, visualizing where change is happening, where help's needed, and what's going on. You know, maps are an incredibly powerful communication tool.
So, I mean, like, data is kind of like, this is the future. You know, software up until now has been kind of the gold, but data is, I think, going to become the real resource. And maps are a really great way to display that and communicate that data. But a Google map with a red marker on it is only one way to do it. And what you show in colors, what you show as markers, what you show as circles, and what you don't show are really important and really, they communicate a lot. And if you look in the history of maps and cartography and stuff like that, there's so many ways to display the same information, and it really is a whole different experience for a lot of different people. And so it's, I think it's really important for as web developers that are going to be doing mapping stuff to really think about how the maps look, because it is a very powerful communication tool.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Thank you.